Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Man, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello.
And one of these days, you're just not going to be here, and that's going to sound really sad when I go, and with me as always is myself.
I don't know why you started off like that, and bringing the show down already.
Well, it's been a depressing week, man, because it was E3.
And E3 sucked.
And E3 kind of sucked. Not that there wasn't any some good stuff there, but it's just like stuff that we already knew about for the most part. There wasn't very many surprises, so. But
yeah. This is pretty much going to be the E3 show.
Yeah. So we're gonna start out with a little bit of the E3 talk, and starting with Microsoft. You okay over there, buddy? You sound like you're gonna die.
I'm good.
I mean, I know Microsoft had a pretty bad press conference, but it wasn't as bad as...
Oh, shit. Let's keep going. It's all good.
I don't know where to go with that.
Microsoft.
So their press conference started out with Halo 4, and I thought that looked pretty good and interesting and fun.
With what I heard from behind doors demos, Halo 4 ended up being one of my biggest surprises. I really didn't care at all, but then from what I've heard and seen, it seems like it could be pretty interesting.
And one of the things I'm very interested in see how it works is the co-op campaign. Did you hear a lot about this? So basically, it's going to go like every week. There's going to be 5 episodes to drop, and they're all going to be co-op. So and every week they're going to drop 5 more episodes for I don't know how long.
Hopefully, it's story based.
Yeah, story based. So that's really
and free.
And free. It sounds very interesting. And I thought that game looked really good. The graphics and everything looked really good. And, you know, having new enemies. I'm kind of excited to see where that goes. So,
yeah.
Then they showed off Splinter Cell Blacklist. I think that's what they showed off next.
Yeah,
which
I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know was coming.
I didn't know either. I didn't remember hearing anyone. I guess there might have been a few rumors, but I didn't hear them.
Yeah. I thought that game looked pretty good. Splinter Cell Conviction was kind of a mixed bag for me. I was real excited for the game before it came out, and then when it got here, it was kind of like, it started off really high, but then it just kind of, I don't know, it just kind of fell flat when it became too much about the shooting. But I kind of liked some of the shooting in this game, how the kill confirms worked. I think that's what it was called. So, like, he's running and shooting things. It almost looked like, you know, they really did try to put some Assassin's Creed into it a little bit. But I thought that game looked pretty interesting.
It looked all right. I'm more excited about, hopefully, the traditional spies versus mercs coming back.
Yeah, Big Steven didn't hear that at first, and I had to tell him because he said the feed cut out on him. Because that was
they just about. Yeah, they just said that, like, at the last second. And that's all they said. They didn't... I mean, I think they even sort of made it imply that it's always been in the series since Double Agents, it's Pandora Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But it really wasn't there last time.
No.
It was there in Double Agent. Not the best version of it at all, but it was there.
I wish they would bring back a co-op mode that they had in Chaos Theory, because that was amazing.
Never played it.
Mm. So good. But then they got to the Madden 13 and the FIFA talk and stuff with the Kinect, and I could care less.
it wasn't really that exciting, but I really got annoyed with everyone complaining about it, because everyone just wants to... They think E3 is for them. They think it's for us, the people who are really hardcore gamers. It's not. This is about getting people who don't have the system already, because there are people who don't. And what's going to entice them? It's not the games that they'd already own a system by now. It's by trying to find ways of getting them into, you know, getting that console into their home. And I don't know if you watched the Game Trailers Invisible Walls podcast, but the host of that was really just getting on my nerves.
I don't watch that podcast. Don't listen to that podcast or watch it, because it's one of those. It's kind of you can watch it or. So I've never really paid much attention to that podcast.
It was really getting on my nerves.
Yeah. What was weird to me is on the Microsoft press conferences, they had all these like exclusive games, but they didn't really show very much about them at all. Like,
well, yeah, Gears like, of, they Gears also of War? and they had like the three or so, which I assume are XBLA titles, but they didn't really give any details or go much into it. Like they had the Ascension game from the Toy Soldiers guys, which I'm assuming is like just like Toy Soldiers, but with a, you know, fantasy Lord of the Rings-esque skin over it instead. But they didn't really show much.
It had like Shadow of the Colossus ideas in it as well, though.
I mean, they didn't show much or say much. And then they had the, you know, Twisted Pixel, whatever.
Yeah.
Loco Cycle. Yeah.
Which, you know, that kind of was, I don't know, that was kind of pointless. I think all they thought they had to do was throw Twisted Pixel up there.
Yeah, I mean, they just said the name. It's like, I want more than just that. Like, yeah. I'm a fan of Twisted Pixel. But still, I mean, I'm not going to get excited over a name. I need more. Even if it was just like they show the actual character a little bit more and just play like a 30-second song because they make some good music. That Chainsaw, he knows how to rock it. But it was like nothing. It was just so quick. And I was really hoping for... I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I was really hoping for a big-budget Maw sequel. I would love that. You know, with the budget of a game like Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. That would be very interesting. But that's not the kind of games that they make. Nor does Microsoft put that kind of money in anything anymore, it seems.
I don't even think Twisted Pixel has a studio that is capable of...
Yeah.
You know, they're not that big.
But, they showed off... What was weird is they showed off a trailer for Fable Journey, but said nothing more about it. Because people don't care. They know people don't give a shit.
I was a bit surprised with how little they actually showed of the Kinect. And like a lot have said, it was much more voice-based than movement-based.
Yeah, what was that with the hole in the middle? They're just like, they showed all this, how it connects was being used in Espanol.
That and bugged
I'm
me.
Like, but I was like, really?
Whatever. But that's, you know, it's like maybe there's a big Spanish-speaking audience that doesn't own any of the consoles, and this is like, now I'm going to get it. I don't know.
I mean, but to me, this is, I don't know. It's a weird place for it during a E3, which is the American press conferences, you know?
Freaking soon enough, Spanish will be the second language of America, and we'll all have to fucking know it.
Don't even get me started, motherfucker.
Yeah, don't get me started. I think we're on the exact same page right here. So let's just keep it before we lose all our Mexican listeners, all our Spanish listeners, all our Latino, whatever the correct term is for you people. You people.
Anytime that you bring up Latinos, all I can think of is go. Yeah.
It's Latino, right? I don't know. I always get confused between Latino and Hispanic, which is the proper term, which they prefer. I don't know.
It's so confusing. All I remember is when you worked at the factory and go when they were watching soccer.
Then there's also smart glass.
What do you think about that?
I think the people shitting on it are idiots. I think it could be very interesting.
I agree.
And the fact that I was very surprised because they actually made a smart choice with smart glass by allowing it to be on pretty much, you know, all platforms.
Right.
And platforms as in iOS and Android.
So for people that don't know what smart glass is, that didn't watch press conferences, basically it's the idea is that they're going to take your tablets and your Android or your iPhones, and they're going to turn them into basically little windows into gaming and stuff. So, you know, it sounds
If you have an Apple TV and an iOS device, it's basically AirPlay.
So basically when you're playing Halo 3 or Halo 4, you can bring up your smart glass and you can, when you're playing the game, you could look up maps and stuff that's going to interact with your game. Very cool concept. Is it going to happen as soon as they say it is? That's the question, because, you know, I think that technology is going to be something that's going to be utilized in the next generation more than it is.
Just like I think Kinect will probably be a lot more functional in the next system too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a very interesting idea, and I'm very curious to see where it goes from here.
They showed off a new Forza game, which I'm kind of excited about this one.
Yeah,
I hear it's gonna be arcadey instead of semi. So right there, I'm very interested because I always thought Forza looked good, but I just don't have the patience for those type of games, and I'm not any good at them. And if they're going to make this kind of an arcadey type game, I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Did they make any inclination as to whether it was a arcade game or a full retail?
It's, as far as I know, it's retail.
Okay.
I don't think they said specifically, but I think that game looked too good to be a downloadable game. Who knows?
Who knows? It could be another 20 bucker.
20 bucker. They showed off some more of their music program and their Kinect Training Plus with Nike.
Which I think, as you know, it might not be for you, and I don't really use that kind of stuff, but I think it's a smart addition just because of how hot all the like Fitbit and those things are right now. Mm-hmm. So it's, though I think it would be smarter to get that out the door like right away. Like it would have been nice if they said, and that's available now, you can download it via app or whatever. And because I just think you don't want to like wait until November or whatever when you give the update, and then that by then, you know, people don't care anymore.
They announced finally Internet Explorer is coming to Xbox,
which could be very nice with the whole smart glasses, depending on if that comes out soon or not. Because I mean, using your iPad, I mean, because I heard people talk about demos where it's, they use it as sort of like almost a trackpad, and you can use it to type in the, you know.
What I want to see is them use Internet Explorer in games to make maybe like, I don't know, that would be kind of interesting to do like some kind of active reality game or whatever those are called, ARGs, inside of a game. You know, hey, read this newspaper article, but it would let you click on it and it linked to your, to a website or something that has that story, so you could read it at your own leisure and stuff as well. I don't know. It just, they could do some stuff with that to actually integrate it into games.
Yeah, and I think it's also just a big thing. I think it's a big part of smart glass.
Right, and I mean, if any company's going to use it, you know, like in that way, it would be Microsoft with their integration and stuff. Since it's their browser and everything, they could really do some stuff with it.
And even though I don't really use it often, it has gotten a lot better from where it used to be.
Yeah. Then they showed off some Tomb Raider, which, oh my god, I cannot fucking wait for that game.
I hope it can live up to the demos.
Ugh, that game just looks fantastic. It runs smooth, and it just, oh my god, it looks like so much fun.
What worries me is some reports of like how action-y it gets later on, like how ridiculous, like she just becomes this super born badass. And this is like an origin story where she's learning. I don't think anyone can learn that fast.
I don't know. I mean, so what did you think about Racketeer?
It looks okay.
Kind of looks like Boom Blocks with catapults or, you know.
Yeah, Boom Blocks, Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
I mean, whatever.
Did you hear Activision announce Angry Birds is coming to consoles?
Yeah, which, whatever.
They showed off the new South Park RPG.
That was the best part of the show. Trey Parker and Matt Stone should just host everything.
His joke when he came out about how your smartphone's going to link to this.
Yeah, it's just going to link to all this. But our phone's not, our game's not going to do that. and then also commenting on, you know, our show, it really looks shitty. And you have no idea how hard it was to make the game look that shitty.
But the best part of E3 this year was when Usher came out and he... No, fuck that. That was not the best part. What the fuck was that all about?
It's because of what the show is actually about. It's not about us. And there were a lot of people there who liked Usher, too. A lot of the gaming press. I mean, I don't care about Usher. I liked my little joke, though, that they followed Usher with Black Ops. And I said that was racist.
And to close out the show was Black Ops 2, which, you know, I thought it looked really good. And I liked Black Ops 1. I think it was the best one out of the series so far. Except for maybe the first part of Modern Warfare was pretty good, but... It's hard to get excited about Call of Duty when you see the same thing every year, but at least this demo didn't have them climbing a fucking ladder or the side of a mountain for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
they actually showed a lot of action, and I'm interested in the world that it's set in, being in the future and everything, so...
Don't forget it's split up between that and, like, the 80s or whatever.
Yeah, but see, I liked Black Ops. I really liked it too.
The story until the end, where it got a little bit too crazy for my taste.
Oh, I love the end the best. What do the numbers mean? Yeah. So, but that was pretty much it. I was kind of disappointed. I think that was probably the worst part. Is though everybody it ended with Call of Duty Black Ops, and everybody's like, okay, where's the one last thing that you guys end the shows with every year? And then it's like, oh, it was Black Ops. That's the one last thing. So that was kind of disappointing.
Well, what are you going to do? I was actually kind of surprised that there was even nothing shitty, nothing at all from Rare. Nothing. Like, what are they doing? Did they just kill everyone there and they don't want to tell us? You know, my dream will never come true. I still want my goddamn Viva Pinata, Harvest Moon, Animal Crossing little downloadable title that comes pre-installed on every 360 and you use your avatars and it's awesome in my head, and it'll only ever be in my head.
So after the Microsoft press conferences, they had an EA press conference, which I didn't watch very much of. They showed a little bit of Dead Space 3, which had co-op. So, you know, I kind of wish they would have stuck to the single player with Dead Space, but we know how the world's...
It's just looking a bit too action-heavy.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it turns out. I mean, we can't shit on it yet, but I love Dead Space 2. I thought Dead Space 2 really rocked what Dead Space 1 did, so... But I hear Dead Space 3 is being done by a different studio, even, so... So I don't really... Did you see anything else EA had? Because I didn't watch it.
Medal of Honor looks all right, like it has potential.
I can't get excited about Medal of Honor.
I'm getting kind of sick of military shooters, and they're all just the same old action. I'd like to see one that's a bit more realistic, but none are doing that anymore. It seems, or if you want that, you have to go to the PC. So I don't know. I mean, Madden. I'm hopeful that maybe they could finally bring a good Madden, but who knows? The new tackle system it looks like it could be nice, but at the same time, they've said that, like, for the past 3 years, every tackle is going to be different. So maybe this year it'll actually be true?
They did announce some things that Microsoft that may be not really interested in Madden. Don't get me wrong.
The smart glass thing with the playbook and stuff like that could be interesting.
Not only that, they talked about the in-game Twitter and stuff. I thought was kind of interesting. You could do some stuff with that.
Everybody's doing in-game Twitters or their own version of Twitter.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. It was EA. I really don't remember much. Did they show off most one or the new Criterion?
I know I saw it, but I can't remember if it was from them or a different press conference. But yeah, it looks good.
Isn't it called Most Wanted as well?
Yeah, it is Most Wanted. It's sort of...
They need to come up with new names.
Whatever, who cares? I mean, but it's basically, you know, the next Burnout Paradise.
Yeah, that makes me excited, because everybody got all excited about their Need for Speed game, but Need for Speed, I don't know, is just kind of a... To me, I don't know, there's like two or three different shortcuts at a level, and that's kind of... Meh, I want to see more shortcuts. That's what kind of Burnout was all about, so... I'm kind of hoping that this game's going to have all that.
I'm excited for another Burnout Paradise-esque game with the whole asynchronous multiplayer kind of styles of, like, SSX and how Hot Pursuit was.
So that's kind of all we know about EA. None of us paid that much attention. Ubisoft had a press conference, which, by the way, was the most amazing fucking thing that was at the show. You know it's a bad E3 when Ubisoft is the best... show at the show. They showed off some Assassin's Creed 3, which, goddamn, I cannot wait for that fucking game. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's looking good. I mean, but it's still looking like more Assassin's Creed, just a new setting. I wasn't as excited about the whole pirate ship bit that was shown at Sony's.
Yeah, I don't think I was.
I don't know why people got so excited, because I was just watching that and I was thinking to myself, are you controlling the boat or what? I mean, I couldn't tell from the demo.
Yeah, it looked like you were controlling the boat.
I don't know. To me, it sort of looked like maybe you're just controlling this guy and you get to move the camera around while everything's going on. Because I didn't really see like a... I don't know, it didn't...
But for something that's just added to a game, it looks really good. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting in a story point, in an interesting story way, I think. Because, you know, they did bring it up at the press conference, you know, the war wasn't won just on land. It was by sea as well. So, I don't know. I'm so excited for that setting and everything. So, I can't wait. And it's nice to see that, you know, you're going to have the wilderness environments, and you're not going to be just killing people. Sometimes you're going to have to fight animals, too. And that's going to bring a whole new level to an Assassin's Creed game. And I don't know. I just think that game's going to be amazing. I really hope it lives up to the hype I'm setting for it, which it probably will not. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure all my hype that could have gone for Assassin's Creed is currently with Tomb Raider.
Wow. And you hate Tomb Raider.
I'm not a fan. But everything I've seen, it just looks so interesting. And I think that there's potential for you to hate it because of how potentially similar it could be to Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh, don't. I know. Every time I see her eat something, or when she gets
freaking beat up, I'm like, oh, how's she going to fix herself? Rob's going to hate it.
That's like made me cry when I first seen that a couple years back.
I was like, I don't know if a lot of people were, but I got like so freakishly giddy when I saw her hunting the deer. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be, it just feels like it's going to be much more of a, you know, really intimate experience more than just like this, oh, I'm this busty woman running around a cave and I'm going to go kill some endangered species.
Ubisoft,
Far Cry. Wow.
Far, that looked really good.
I was not that impressed by the... I'm getting confused, like, where demos were shown. Like, the co-op demo, that was shown at the Sony,
that
right?
was at Sony, yeah. Co-op, yeah. I don't care about the co-op so much.
I would care about it if it was just the campaign, like a drop in, drop out in the open world campaign kind of style.
But you know what? I do like the way that's going in a lot of games, though, is, hey, you've got this single player game, but then you've got this also co-op campaign. Because, I mean, it worked really well with Darkness, too. I thought the co-op campaign, and that was really good because it was different characters from the story.
I really need to play that.
I'll play the co-op with you if you know, when you pick it up. Did you pick it up?
Yeah, I got it. My favorite part of the whole Far Cry 3 co-op demo was when they were like, they got to the second part of the level and they were like, okay, I'm gonna take the guy on the right, you take the guy on the left, they shoot both those guys, but what's the fucking point of them strategizing for those 10 seconds or whatever, because everyone knew they were there after that. It's not like they took them out silently. It's just like everyone turned batshit crazy and they were like, oh shit, good job.
Oh, that does remind me to bring back something from the Microsoft press conference on Ubisoft was Blacklist has Kinect support where you can like you could in Chaos Theory where you could like, hey, yell at the guy and get their attention so they would come over and you could kill them. So I thought that was kind of neat.
We need another Manhunt game.
Made better by Kinect.
Yeah.
You actually kill somebody in your room.
You choke the air.
And then, you know, Ubisoft showed off that Far Cry. I thought that game looked really good, and the way the world was, it's going to be a big open world again. Hopefully, not everybody's out to kill you.
All the boobies you want.
Yeah. People were really making a big deal about that, but I don't know. To me, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was just a couple of boobies with paint on them. Hmm. I mean, who hasn't seen that? Who hasn't licked paint off a woman's boobies?
You.
I have, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Not paint. Anyway.
I don't want to go and talk anymore about this. Next game, please.
I don't know what the only... Was well, that
they? They had Rayman.
Oh, yeah, Rayman.
Rayman. This isn't Everybody Loves Rayman. Which I'd love it if he was a secret character, though.
They showed off, yeah, because I didn't watch the Nintendo press conference at all. So they showed off the Nintendo pad in that game, and that just bored me to tears. I could not imagine anybody wanting to play that version of Rayman just for that reason. I don't know. So, but game looks like more Rayman. So, Rayman.
Yeah.
Watch
Dogs.
Man.
I will admit that I would not be anywhere near as excited as I am for the game if it was not in Chicago. And if I get I Am Alive again, I will fucking kill someone.
So this game looked really neat. So basically the whole idea is that everything in the world is hackable, and now hackers have immense power because they can hack just about anything. And it takes this concept into the real world where you're an assassin. They don't really explain too much about the story. You're trying to kill this guy. But they show all kinds of weird things, like how, you know, you can like scan people and you're like, oh, this guy's got HIV. You know, because basically what you're doing is you're taking everybody's medical records offline and everything, and just by looking at somebody with facial scanning technology or whatever, boom, it tells you everything about them. So it's really a cool concept.
Definitely next gen.
Yeah. There may be a current gen version of it, but
yeah,
it'll be ugly.
Uglier than what we saw.
But he did some really cool things where, you know, it's like this guy's going to show up at this art exhibit, and to stop him, he like goes outside and changes the traffic lights. So
it's like Live Free and Die Hard, or yeah. Die Hard or whatever.
Yeah.
You the play game. As Timothy Oliphant in this game.
So I'm really excited to see what they do with this game. Next gen. If it's next gen, though, you know, we'll see.
Well, it could be like Gun or whatever, where you have your two versions that are on both the consoles. It would make for a very, if it is turns out to be a good game, it would make for quite the nice launch title.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the good thing about how late this console cycle is going, because maybe we'll actually get some decent launch titles when the system launches, because they've been in development for so long, maybe. Mm-hmm. Then again, who knows if I'll even buy the next consoles. So, but yeah, so that's how the Ubisoft press conference ended, and
they didn't show Zombie U at their press conference, did they?
No, that was at Nintendo's, I think.
Yeah, it was at Nintendo's.
Oh, they showed a trailer for Zombie U, but they didn't actually show any gameplay. They played that trailer with the music God Save the Queen or something. So, then the Sony press conference kind of opened up with was it the Ellen Page game? Is that how it opened?
Yeah.
Pretty much opened up. Beyond Two Souls. The Quantic Dream guys, the guys that did Heavy Rain, they're making a game with that, really, with the Ellen Page.
That really weirded me out because of how the one girl from The Last of Us looked like Ellen Page. I was just like, this is such a weird coincidence.
They've changed the look of the girl from Last of Us, or they're planning on it to make her not look like Ellen Page, because they didn't realize. She didn't look as much like Ellen Page last time we seen the game, but that first trailer...
Yeah, she's been, you know, euthanized. But, you know...
They killed her?
Yeah, I know that word means that, but you know what I mean. Euthanized.
So, we don't know very much about Beyond Two Souls. Apparently, they had some backstage stuff shown.
Yeah, it was like a 40-hour long demo, and apparently that the demo that was shown was one of the few action-y bits of the game, because David Cage said he did not like what they shown. He did not like it because it was not what he wants the game to be or whatever. I don't know. Honestly, it could be good, but I don't really care that much because he burned Beyond Heavy Rain.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the way that Beyond Two Souls ends is we find out that Ellen Page isn't a real person. The ghost is the real person, and she's the
ghost. She's not a ghost. She's Bruce Willis the whole time, and he was doing the voice the whole time, and you didn't know it because Bruce Willis is a mimic. He's the most talented voice actor in the world.
Then they showed off probably the dumbest game ever, PlayStation.
And I also heard from the backstage demos that while like some of the bigger characters in that game are English actors, they still use French actors for some of the minor characters.
No. If there isn't a scene in that game where they're yelling, Ellie, 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 I don't want it. Then they showed off PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, which like looks like the dumbest fucking thing ever.
It looks so much like Super Smash Brothers Ball. Like, more so than I thought. Like, with like the whole white outline around the characters is just...
I like Super Smash Brothers, but this to me is like, it may look like it, but it does not play like it. So you got to unlock these special attacks before you can knock anybody off the screen.
I'm going to say something that really bugs me, and I heard a lot of people say, oh, they liked it about it. I don't like the fact that you can't see the score until after the game is finished. And it really bugged me when like the guy on stage was saying, man, it's a really close game. I don't know who's winning. We don't have to find out. I'm like, what the hell kind of game is this? I mean, I can understand if that's a mode for like casual play where nobody's going to be too competitive because nobody knows who's winning or if they should really try for this now or, you know, whatever. But
I don't even know how scoring in the game works because I'm looking at a screenshot here and I noticed this at the press conference. Okay, it shows like, okay, there's the four characters. Kratos has a -2 score. He had 1 kill and 4 deaths. That doesn't even mathematically make sense. Sweet Tooth had a score of 6. He had 4 kills and 2 deaths. So to me, that makes sense because, hey, you know, that adds up to 6. Then you got the Fat Princess who won. Her score was 8. She had 5 kills and 2 deaths. I just don't understand the scoring method in this game.
And I also loved when the guy got on stage and said, man, we've been hearing a lot of people say they want this on Vita. And guess what? We're giving it to you on Vita. And I'm thinking to myself, I've pretty much heard nothing but people complaining like, no, don't put this on Vita. The screen's too small. This is not going to work. But whatever. And then apparently everyone's like, oh yeah, this is so fun on Vita now. I don't get it.
Then they showed off some PlayStation Plus stuff, which was awesome because we got a whole shit ton of free games.
Yeah, but there are a lot of games that you already played, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, but I will say
that like PlayStation Plus is nice, but it's really nice for people who aren't the hardcore games who are willing to wait and are patient and aren't the people that are going to go out and need to play a game right away. Because Infamous 2, that came out over a year ago.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's exciting.
You?
Like, I really want to play it, but then I looked at how big the size of the file was.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
14 gigs or something.
No, I think it was 16 gigs. And I'm like, over a quarter of my hard drive.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
That's the bad thing. I need a bigger hard drive for my PS3 with the PlayStation Plus. I did download Little Big Planet 2 because it's a smaller size. I think it's only like 6 gigs
like
or something.
5, 4, 6.
Maybe, yeah, something like that. But, man, they had some really cool games. They gave away Just Cause 2. The new Virtual Fighter 5 game was free this time, which I haven't played it yet, but I downloaded it, so... Warhammer Space Marine. That's that was an odd one. So
Saints Row 2.
Yeah, Saints Row 2.
You want to play that one now? That one's like 4 years old.
But hey, it's free.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. I'm just saying like it's not really that good for people who are hardcore play games right.
I almost downloaded
right
Ratchet and Clank all for one. Because I thought it was a Move game only, but Steven told me, no, it has controller support. So I was like, oh, I'll download that, 14 gigs. I'm like, I'm not downloading that. Then they moved into the quote-unquote Vita section. they showed off...
I'm convinced the Vita's dead.
I kind of agree with you, which is sad, because it had so much potential. They didn't release a Polaris drop, which that's what has to happen. People are not buying it at that price.
They could still see a price drop, but they wouldn't do that at E3.
Assassin's Creed Liberation, which looked really good. You're playing a female assassin down in New Orleans.
I heard it has a Splinter Cell type system where you charge up these little slots and then she just kills everyone for you.
Huh. That would probably work really well on the Vita. So I'll buy it because I'm real excited to have something to play on the Vita and excited about that era of Assassin's Creed. Then they showed off the maritime combat for Assassin's Creed, which we already talked about, and then the co-op for Far Cry 3.
Where's Wonder Books?
Oh, man, here we go. So then they went for, like, I don't know how long this went on.
It was, like, 10 or 15 minutes, and it was a horrible demo. It looked awful.
So basically they talked about Wonder Books. It's these little books that you put on the ground, and they come to life, kind of like the same idea of iPet.
But it's so stupid because, like, they show this promo video that makes it look so exciting, but like the kids seeing all this stuff happen in their lap. But that's not how this thing works. You have to look at the fucking TV like a mirror. It's so bad. And I think it's kind of telling that you might be annoyed by like the whole Skittles thing and having this little girl demo the game, but they had adults demo this game, which maybe that means that it's a bit too complicated for kids. So,
I think it was more that the demo didn't work. They had so many issues even with the demo of it working. So, the biggest part of it they were excited about showing off was the Harry Potter stuff.
But they never even said Harry Potter.
At the very beginning, they talked about it being Harry Potter.
I'm pretty sure they might have said like Potterverse or something, but they never specifically like said Harry Potter.
Pottermore. They talked about how it links up with Pottermore. Well, people that follow Harry Potter know what Pottermore is. For the most part. So,
I'm just saying, they never said Harry Potter. They said J.K. Rowling.
I'm sure they said Harry Potter at some point.
Pretty sure they didn't.
Okay, people, go back, watch the press conference because we're too lazy.
Don't do it because it's a horrible press conference to watch, especially that part.
But yeah, it was terrible. It was uninteresting.
That was probably the worst thing of E3 for me.
And it went on forever.
That was the problem. It went on for so long. It was just so screwed up, and it just did not work. And it was just, what are you doing? I'd rather see a bunch of shit in 3D.
Yeah, which was non-existent this E3, thank Christ. they showed off God of War Ascension, which they showed some really interesting gameplay elements of how time kind of stops in areas and... So you're climbing up the side of stuff that exploded in time, and so you can climb up. I don't know. It's really hard.
I don't give a shit about that game because it looks like more God of War. That's it. Nothing new or special.
I liked God of War, so
I'm sick of God of War.
God of War 3 kind of wore on me a little bit, but it got good near the end. And you liked God of War 3, okay?
It was okay. I would never have bought it.
And then they ended the show with Last of Us, which still looks really good.
I wasn't as impressed with it. And I would have preferred to see the behind doors demo, the backseat. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. I would have rather seen that one where it was not so action heavy. There were a lot of things that just little things that bugged me about it. And I know that, of course, the demo was probably played on easy because they don't want the person to die. But like when he gets shot twice, it's like, oh, it's nothing. And you just see this tiny slither come off his health bar. And why is there a health bar? Was there even there was no health bar in Uncharted, right?
No.
And was there even an option to put a health bar in?
No.
I don't understand why this game has a health bar.
Because it's not going to have the thing where you lay against the wall and heal. I mean, I think that's where they're going with the more realistic combat.
Yeah, but ideas. I would have liked to see indications on his body or something. I don't know.
Just the health bar itself. You wanted some kind of health system, you just didn't.
I don't want it to be that gamey. Because this is supposed to be, a lot of ways, it's a very realistic game, more so than Uncharted. But then there are these tiny little elements like, oh, he gets shot, like, oh, it's nothing. And you see this health bar, and that really bugged me.
So that's how they ended the E3 press conference for Sony.
And I have to say, I'm very annoyed by the fact that Sony, I know other companies have done it before, I don't think they've done it this year, but that Sony brings in these fans and maybe even bloggers, too, that are not going to get into E3 otherwise to... give them all this freaking ridiculous applause for stupid things and have them wait in lines, the night before to get in. Well, I mean,
apparently the Sony press conference was open to anybody.
There was like a certain section of it, a certain amount of seats. I mean, they still had things reserved for press.
Yeah.
That bugged me because they're basically just ringers and then just yelling and screaming at everything. It's like, oh, they all started cheering when he found out Nathan Drake was in PlayStation All-Stars. Like, which that's a big fucking surprise. Yeah, that's I really didn't think he was going to be in it.
So, Nintendo's press conferences, we're going to just hit some of the highlights here. They showed the Wii U, no price given, which they announced that before the show started, there wouldn't be no price. They showed new Super Mario Bros. U.
We started with Pikmin 3.
Oh, did it start with Pikmin 3?
Yep. I swear which is what show that everyone loved. And then everyone hated everything else after that.
Well, I mean, Pikmin, yeah, whatever. They showed off Batman, which no one's going to care about because everybody's wanted Batman. They already played Batman. They showed off a new Scribblenauts game for the Wii U, which
looks like one of the few games that could actually be good for the system.
Right.
And it will be an exclusive, so there's that.
Then they showed off very little bit of 3DS stuff because they had their own press conference with that, which I didn't watch. But they
that
showed
lasted off longer than I thought of him just saying, oh, we will have this. Like, he kept going after that. I'm like, okay, you told us that you're going to tell us things tomorrow night, so why don't you just get off the stage already?
I'm really new Super Mario Brothers 2 on 3DS is going to be coming out very soon. I think they said August. So that's kind of surprising that it's coming out that soon. I'm excited for that game because I just love my Mario games. Although I didn't, when they showed the 3DS demo then, I thought some of it, they're talking about how much it focuses on coins in that game. Everything's fucking gold, and I'm like, ugh.
I just remembered something awesome from EA, the best part of EA's whole press conference, and one of the best games of the show, fucking SimCity. That game looks fucking awesome, and everything I've heard from actual demos, it's just like, I cannot wait for that game. You don't care.
They did show off the 3DS version of Paper Mario, which I'm very excited about. And Luigi's Mansion.
I'm editing out that yawn. You fucking son of a bitch.
It was a real yawn.
I don't believe you at all. It's just bullshit. That's the most over-exaggerated yawn ever.
No, it seriously was a real yawn, but it played well into the SimCity. So that was basically the big highlights of E3.
Nintendo was just really just so boring. And I was like,
yeah.
I watched the whole thing and I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. Once they said they weren't going to announce the price, and I kind of looked over what was coming out, I was like, ugh, sorry, I'm talking about Nintendo, I'm still yawning. So we're going to get to games of what we've been playing. I'm just going to hit a few games here really fast. Resistance, Burning Sky on the Vita. Don't buy it. Not worth it. Dumbest fucking game I bought for the Vita so far. Boring, uninteresting, ugly. Stay away from this fucking game. Jak and Daxter HD Collection. I've been playing a little bit of that.
Looks Let me guess. It's Jak and Daxter in HD.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? It looks beautiful, though.
I'm not surprised, because I still think, even not in HD, that game, all of them, they look fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing how well those graphics in HD look. I mean, it almost, if it wasn't for the way that the game doesn't really, you know, the game feels last gen, the look of it's a next gen game with the graphics and stuff. I'm glad I finally found a copy of this fucking game, which I have never finished a Jak and Daxter game, and I'm about 50-some% finished with this, the first one now, so.
You should just stop playing, because then you're just going to want Jak and Daxter 4, like I've been wanting for years.
Didn't they announce that at last E3, and we heard nothing about it by this E3?
I don't think they ever mentioned, oh, that's a good reminder, Last Guardian, nothing.
That game's dead. I told you guys that game doesn't exist anymore.
That game is just, you know what, and people who say we need these exclusives and stuff for a reason to buy a console. No, you don't. Because you know why I bought my PS3? It's for Metal Gear Solid 4 and for whatever the Team Ico game was going to be working on next. And guess what? I hated Metal Gear Solid 4 and The Last Guardian's never coming out. It's the fucking worst decision ever. Not that I don't like other games on there. I'm just saying what I bought it for, poo.
I rented a game. I had to stop buying so many games because of PAX. So
or because you couldn't find it anywhere to buy.
What is it? Was it hard to find?
I don't know.
Inversion?
I don't even know what the game is.
So Inversion is a game by Namco. Basically, it's a Gears of War clone. But you have these special abilities where you can affect gravity. So you can shoot gravity, make things heavier so the enemies can't move around very far. Or you can, like, throw items at them. So, basically...
So, you're saying you turn all the enemies into Big Steven.
So if you liked Mass Effect's combat with the whole, like, lifting people up and then shooting them, it has a lot of that, too, so you can make the gravity on these enemies lighter so they start floating up in the air so you can shoot them and kill them that way. It's kind of, it would be an interesting concept. They don't go as far with it. However, where the game really shines is the fact is because the world's gravity's fucked up. In areas, sometimes you'll be running on the, like, street level, and then you'll have to jump on the side of a building, and you're running along the side of a building shooting enemies and stuff like that as well. And sometimes that makes the world map, it still feels like a Gears of War game. You're still leaning up against cover, but the cover may be the underside of a fire escape on the side of a building and stuff like that. Very much like that Capcom game where you're in the UFO. I cannot think of the name of it right now. It was a terrible game.
For this generation?
Yeah, the you were like, oh, you had the jetpack.
Oh, Dark Void.
Yeah, Dark Void. It has a lot of elements of that Dark Void where you're kind of floating through the air.
That's a bad thing to compare to.
But I mean, I'm talking about, you know how in that game when you're you're underneath something and you're like shooting over it like cover. You're doing that in this as well. You're like floating. There's areas in the game where you're floating too through the air. And you got to get to one platform to the next, and you got to hide behind the platform and shoot around it to kill enemies that are floating. It could have been an interesting game. It's not worth $60, and I'm glad I didn't buy it. However, I did get very frustrated because there's a boss type in the game that's just this big fat dude, and no, it's not Big Steven, and he's called the Slave Driver, and he walks around with his shield on so you can't kill him until you kill all of his minions that he sends after you, and then he lets his shield down. However, they always put him in these round arenas, and I could not get past this guy the second time I fought him because he has this whip thing. If you get too close to him, he starts whipping you with it. Well, I would get stuck in a corner somewhere because I'm trying to run around to avoid getting shot by his fucking minion dudes. And I would get stuck in a corner, and he would be so close to me that he just whips you three times, you're dead. But you don't even have time to move, because once you're hit once or twice, your health is down, and the third time, you're gone. And it's shit like that. It just fucking pissed me off. So I quit playing it after that. So the game is just kind of hard in areas. So I played the Gravity Rush demo for the Vita. Basically, it's a very interesting game. It has a very nice art style. I did pre-order this game. I'll be picking it up on Tuesday, along with Lollipop Chainsaw. But the controls are a little weird in this game. So it's basically a superhero origin story. It's really hard to explain how this game works. But you control gravity in this game as well. And it's a very interesting concept. If you have a Vita, if you don't have a Vita, you're not going to be interested. But if you've got a Vita, you can download it at the PS3 store and give it a try, because it's a very entertaining game, and it's getting pretty decent reviews. So take a look at that. And the last thing I've been playing is I finally actually sat down and played more Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Me and Steven went through some of the co-op campaign. That game was kind of annoying on co-op, especially when...
When you're playing a game and there's a lot of enemies and your teammate runs away.
Boom, that's a Minecraft callback there. I like where you're going with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of instant fail states in this game, so you actually have to be stealthy in a Ghost Recon game. I know it's strange that actually has to happen, but that's really annoying when it's in co-op, and you're trying to explain to Steven how to do something, and he's like, oh, I'm going to aim at this guy. So basically they have these modes where you're like, almost like the kill confirmed from Splinter Cell. So you put your little icon on characters, and then since it's a four-player game, you can put it up to four people, and each of you will take one, and you got to hold your trigger. You got to hold your gun over the person, and once they lock onto them, you just hit the button, and you'll kill all of them. So you kind of actually do have to do the shooting. The problem with this is you can lock onto somebody that's driving by in a pickup truck when you're trying to be stealthy. And if you attack one of the other guys, the guy that's got your computer-controlled guy will like decide that he's going to kill the guy in the truck, too, and that'll alert people. We did this one section of this game about six times because we kept fucking it up. Steven would fuck it up, or I would fuck it up. For some reason, I joined into his game at one point, and we were in a section where we couldn't shoot anybody. We had to be quiet unless they were the only one standing there, then we could kill them. Every time I would kill them, I would alert everybody because the game loaded me in with the last gun I used, and it didn't have a sniper or it didn't have a suppressor on it. So I had to not shoot anything at all through an entire like 15-minute section, because if I did, it would automatically end badly. So just weird shit like that. I think the game looks great and it's a lot of fun and the multiplayer is really good once you get used to it. But that campaign and the fail states doesn't really feel like a co-op campaign. It's not fun when you're with four other people redoing a section over and over and over again. So that's pretty much all I've been playing.
All right. All you're complaining about the fail states in Ghost Recon is wrong, that I also played Max Payne 3, which I didn't list. And that was kind of bugging me because there are points in the game where if you don't go through an area quick enough, it's fail, and you have to start all over.
You only played like the first half of it though, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I played through it on hard, which was hard.
Yeah, that game's hard on normal.
Yeah.
You could die very, very quick in that game.
Yes, you can. And I was playing on hard with no aim assist or anything, which is it doesn't feel that good. Without, like, I'm more used to playing the series on PC, so having a mouse, it's a lot easier to target with that little reticule. But I was not really a fan of what I played. I did not enjoy myself.
You didn't even like the story or anything?
No, I really didn't like the story, and I hate the way it was delivered. I hated all the fucking, every single time it would flash, like, oh, politics. It would flash, like, supposedly important words, but it would do it all the time, and it just got way overdone. It was very annoying.
I liked all that stuff.
That's and just the way he talked, like he would have these stupid one-liners that just didn't feel right in the context of the story, the way it was set up. Because it didn't feel noir anymore. But he still had his little cheesy noirish one-liners, which just felt really out of place. I mean,
maybe I liked it because I wasn't a fan of the other ones.
Possibly. And really, it just felt like Max did not belong in this story. The story might have been okay, but he did not belong in it. So, and I mean, the gunplay was, it was all right, but it wasn't that great. I don't know. I was quite disappointed with it. I don't know if I've heard some people say it gets a lot better in that second half, but I don't know because I can't play it. But I did get some free rentals and a refund. So good on that. I also played a little bit of Test Drive Unlimited 2, just because. And I was talking a little bit with Big Steven, and I'm like, oh yeah, I really like the way this game's set up, but it's just, it needs some polish. You know, but I'm sure it's a very small team compared to other studios. And the voice acting is some of the worst I've ever seen, ever heard. It is so awful. Did you play it?
I haven't. I played a little bit. It's like, very little.
It's like a robot. I mean, the best voice acting in the game is the female GPS voice. That's the best. That sounds the best. Everything else sounds more robotic than that thing.
But it's a racing game. Who really cares about voice acting in a game like that?
Well, I mean, they throw that story in your face a lot, so
it would. Oh, that's right. It did have a story, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's this whole like thing where like, oh, you're a valet, and she's like, hey, you want to join in this competition? All this crap, and I'm like, hey, sure. this story could have been maybe kind of interesting, but the writing is terrible, and the voice acting is some of the worst I've heard in games, like, maybe ever. It was really bad. But the game is kind of fun. I will restate the most obvious statement ever. I think potentially worse than, you know, the assholes in Call of Duty or first-person shooters, there's nothing quite like an asshole Frenchman racer fan. They're the biggest assholes in games. I don't care if you're French and you're listening to this in France, then that's just already amazing. But you're an asshole if you play racing games, most likely. Every time I've played these games online and I hear French, I'm just like, oh, they do asshole things to me. Because there was like some crazy physics in the game where they just added bikes. And this guy kept just chasing me and like kept sending challenges to me. I'd turn him down. And then I don't know how he got like some super boost or something. But then he just like went right through me. And like He hit me with his bike and it made my fucking car just like have a seizure in the middle of the air. It was fucking insane. And then I was like, oh, dashboard. Not dashboard. I was just like, oh, you know, let me block this guy. I don't want to deal with him anymore. Stupid Frenchman. But I also played some Jam Live Music Arcade, which a review will go up probably on Monday. Because I didn't want to post anything during E3 week. Because who the hell would want to read a review for this? Because there's like, on the leaderboards at least, there's like, I don't know if there are even 200 people on it. So, it's more of a toy than the real music studio. I mean, you can't really share music, and it just feels kind of like, why is this on the 360? You can use a guitar or the controller, and I felt more comfortable with the controller. And there are two modes. There's this basic like jam mode where you mix and make your own little kind of mixes of certain songs, which is actually the way it's set up is nice, but then it's kind of pointless when you can't share it in any way. You can't do anything with it. So what the hell? What's the point? You can't. It's not, I don't understand the point of the game. You can replay the mixes yourself, but you know, if I'm going to take the time to mix something, I want other people to hear it. And I could get around that, my other things, but why? And then the, like, I can't remember what it was called, but the more traditional, like, arcade-ish mode or whatever, where it's like a Guitar Hero kind of game, the system in place is more complicated, so it's just, it gets real difficult, and it's not any fun, so I don't know why you would play it over Rock Band or even Guitar Hero, so... I mean, it's okay, but I don't think it's really worth the $10 price tag. I mean, I'd probably recommend it if you could, you know, potentially remix some tracks with friends online and if you could trade them and all that, but you can't do any of that, so... Blah. And before I get to the last one, I also played Hero's Call. Which is an iOS game.
I was very interested looking at that. I seen that on your list, and I wanted to see what that was about.
And I have a review already written that I'm just waiting to post.
Is it a Diablo-esque type of game?
It's very Diablo-esque, and it's not that bad. It's a free app with in-app purchases, but you don't really need to buy anything. It's pretty much... You only get one class in the beginning, which is a Blood Knight. And it's basically just a knight, so it's the melee sword character. So if that's what you like, then you're set. And the only other character available right now is a mage, which costs a certain amount of gems, which I think you could get enough gems with the $3 pack. It's not that bad. It controls well. I like the fact that it's a touch control game, so you just tap where you want to go, or you can hold it, and he will just keep going forward in that place. And you just tap enemies to attack them and stuff like that. So it works really well on the iPad. And it's also a universal app, so it can work on the iPhone too. My real problem with the game and why I like it, but I don't like it enough to keep playing it, is the fact that in these kind of games, these action RPGs, dungeon crawlers, one of the main reasons, if not the... pretty much sole reason I play him, is for leveling up my character and gaining experience and doing all that. And this game doesn't have experience. You gain levels by completing quests. So you get your first few levels from just one quest, then, you know, two quests to get to the next level, then so on and so on. And I really don't like that. And another problem is that you have to wait to play new quests. Like, that's one other thing. Like, you can purchase, spend gems to get rid of that time wait, because first it's like 5 minutes and 10 minutes and a half an hour, then an hour, then 2 hours, which I don't have a problem waiting, because, you know, whatever. But when I need to play those quests to level up my character more, and that's what I want to do in these games, I just don't feel the need to do it. I don't feel the desire to do it. And you can replay old quests, but only new quests count towards your level progress.
Ugh. So wow, I was interested in this game when I first seen it. and looked at it, and now I'm not interested at all. So yeah, I mean, you did your part.
Yeah, it just it's pretty disappointing because that's the sole thing that kills it for me. Even if it had that system, and which I don't like, I probably would have been okay with it if it had any kind of multiplayer system in place, even if it was just a leaderboard system. But there's nothing like that.
Hold on, Kush. I need to go check something real fast.
All right.
All right. Halo got into something, I guess. I don't know. His face is like covered with white dust.
Like he found your secret bag of cocaine.
I don't know where he got that at. But he's got this white powder all over his face. Like he found a hidden cache of.
His Scarface. He wants you to say hello to his little friend, which is his little penis.
All right, this is the most interrupted show that we've had forever.
Yeah. All right, it reminds me because I called my mother today, and I found out that apparently heroin's been big in the old Galena, Illinois. There's like some big heroin busts and stuff like that. People dying from heroin overdictions. It's ridiculous. This town of 3,600 or whatever.
At least it's not bath salts.
Yeah.
They're not eating each other yet.
So, yeah, that's Hero's Call. And then the last game I played, which is like Hero's Call, or you could say Hero's Call is like this game, is Diablo 3. I got really into it, and I'm kind of addicted to it.
So did you went out and bought it? Did you buy it?
I bought it. I'm like level 51 now. I'm probably 3/4 through my nightmare playthrough.
I just couldn't get into the demo. I don't know. I would much rather play something like Dragon's Dogma. I found Diablo 3 to be very boring what I played. Granted, I didn't get very far.
Yeah.
I don't like pointing and clicking at things. I want to hit a button and walk. I want to be able to control my character and make it move towards something and then hit a button to attack it. I do not like click here to walk here and then click this to attack this.
I don't know if I'm curious if a lot of people do click, 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 click when all you have to do is click and hold. And that's all you have to do to like attack something or move. You just click and hold.
See, I was thinking I tried to click and hold and that didn't work.
Well, then you do not know how to click and hold because that works. That does work. That's how I played. I would probably have hated the game if I had to click, click, click everywhere. I just click and hold.
So what you're saying is I need to put the demo back in one more time and try this.
Yeah, you can if you feel like doing it, you can. I mean, if you already uninstalled it, then maybe you don't want to.
No, it's still installed. Yeah.
But I really enjoy it, and they have to have like you know quick drop in and drop out co-op and all that. And I dig the auction house, and I'm very curious to see the actual real money auction house, which is supposed to go live on the 12th. So if it actually goes live, I'm interested to see how that ends up going, like what it's like the first day, if like things are just like, oh, this is $100 or something. But you know, who knows, potentially if a lot of people do want to just pay, like maybe somebody could make a lot of money just like selling everything they have, everything they find for like 50 cents each, and then you know Blizzard takes out 15%. But I mean, if you sell, like, because you can get items pretty frequently, but if you can sell, like, oh, I'm going to sell 20 plus items a day or something, you can make a decent amount of money that way. But yeah.
Yeah.
It should be very interesting. I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. So yeah.
Any cool weapons or anything that you really enjoyed so far?
I don't know, I'm just regular old wizard's crap. I really haven't been paying attention to the story, because who cares? But yeah, it's a pretty game too. It's not like super, like it's not like the most beautiful PC game out there, but it is a pretty game. I'm liking it, and I hope it gets supported. I don't know how well Diablo 2 was supported other than the one expansion pack. But I hope Diablo 3 is supported in the way that World of Warcraft has been supported.
Yeah, you gotta think back in the day though. That was 12 years ago with Diablo 2. They didn't really do much DLC for games, so.
I hope so. I'm really enjoying it, but at a point, I'm pretty sure I will not want to play through the same levels over and over again.
All right. Cool. So.
Movies.
Did you go see Tim Riggins Goes to Mars? Did you see Tim that movie?
John Carter.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I haven't seen that yet, and I was wondering if it was any good, because I've been tempted to rent it today, but I don't know. I can't.
I'm sure it's worth a rental.
But yeah, I don't know if it's worth the 3 hours to sit there and watch it, because I think it was like 3 hours long.
Probably like 2.5. I don't know. But I saw Bernie, and everyone should see Bernie, if it's even in your city, which it probably isn't. It's the newest Richard Linklater film with Jack Black as this. It's based on a true story about this, you know, kind of religious guy who worked at a funeral home, you know, and he would do the makeup for the dead and all that stuff. And then he befriends this old woman and he ends up killing her. And then it's just, it's very interesting. It's like a, it's like this half documentary with actual people, and it's very interesting. It's really well done, and it's one of those times where Jack Black is showing that he's actually a good actor, and he's not being Jack Black.
I can't stand Jack Black. I'm sorry.
Well, he's not being his Jack, you know, is crazy. I'm just gonna like slip in a puddle of poo and run around in a circle like Curly or something. He's actually playing a character, a real person.
Still not interested.
Yeah, you'd probably like it because it's full of a bunch of Southern hicks. Because it's
that, about no, a story. You've got me wrong because I cannot stand.
It's about this story in Texas. All these religious.
I cannot stand Southern hicks.
Oh, I know you love them.
No.
But yeah, that's that. Television. I finally got around to watching Justified Season 3. And all I can say is it's still amazing, and it's just probably the best show on TV right now. And people should watch it and love it. And it's so, so good.
They, I finished watching up Game of Thrones Season 2. The last two episodes of the season were just fucking phenomenal. This show is just so fucking great. If you're not watching, go fuck yourself.
No, I can't watch it because Netflix will never send me disc one of season one. It had no weight.
I don't think you'll like the show anyway.
It had no weight, and then it fucking magically went right back up to very long wait. Fucking bullshit. I think I would like the show.
I don't know. It's too much sex for you.
Well, maybe.
Maybe if you close your eyes and fast forward through those.
I don't mind sex if I feel like it's not.
It's gratuitous.
It's not about it being gratuitous. It's about whether I can take gratuitous sex if it seems like it makes sense in the story. Like, I could see in a fantasy world where it's these more, you know, it's a time where things were different, but it doesn't feel the same.
Then you might get over that in the show.
You know, I can understand where back in the day there's incest and there's all these other things, and there's a lot of just like this, like, oh, they're not going to treat women that well or this or that. It makes more sense, but it's not. In True Blood, it just really bugged me. But I like, you know, fantasy settings and stuff like that, so I want to see it, if Netflix will ever let me. I don't want to pirate it. But they're leaving me no option.
Might as well pirate it.
But that's pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Except for two voicemails, which we can listen to.
Whoa, have voicemails?
Yeah, they're very quick from the guy who it's the guy we always thought was Time Chuck, but then it's not Time Chuck, and I don't remember if we ever gave a name to the dude, but it's that guy.
Okay.
And they were like some of the best Google transcripts ever, but they're like 6 and 9 seconds long.
Okay.
So here's numero uno.
Henderson Man, you perverted racist. You leave my Apache women's vaginas alone.
That's the first one.
What?
You're a perverted racist, and you need to leave his Apache female vaginas alone.
I don't know. I don't know why that was even said.
Oh, we were talking about vaginas. Something about some kind of vaginas in the last episode. And numero duo.
Do bullet time.
Okay.
What?
Those are the kind of voicemails we have.
Well, to be fair, we ain't put the voicemail number up for...
If you want to leave a voicemail like that, you can dial 312-772-5874. And guess what? Expectations are low.
Epic did pick up some of the talent from Big Huge Games.
Yeah, that's good. That was one of the best stories. That was probably the best story to happen since the last show. Better than E3.
Yeah. So, they don't know what they're working on. Some people said it may be the console versions of that silly chair game account, that Infinity Blade.
Well, I think it's basically been said that it's an RPG of an existing IP.
So, that makes a lot of sense.
So, I mean, it could be that, but, like, who knows, like, what ends up happening with the Amalur IP.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be, you know, Reckoning 2. Who knows? So. But it's nice to hear a lot of them got jobs.
Yeah. It's good to hear that. Hopefully, you know, I think there were 40 people at Big Huge Games, so hopefully a lot of those get jobs. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the guys who got the jobs.
Yeah. Got the jobs. So...
Pluggy.
We're getting closer and closer to PAX. So it's nice. If you're going to PAX, send us a voicemail if you made it through this show. Because we'd like to hear from people going to PAX, because we're going to PAX. I'm packing myself to go to PAX. I'm already packed, actually. I'm just waiting.
That's really sad.
No, I'm not already packed. Anyway.
You were obviously just trying to fill for time because you feel like this is too short of a show.
Yeah, no, it's been the longest show we've done in forever, so... so let's get our plugs in there.
Twitter.com/Kush3. That's me, KUSH, the number 3. And you could also follow the podcast at Pixelated Radio and the site at Peace Sausage. I'm doing this weird gesture with my finger, and nobody can see it, but I don't know why I'm doing it, and I'm still doing it. But anyway, you should also check out the Sign In Podcast at signinpodcast.com, the Pullist Podcast at pseudoradio.blogspot.com, and the Two Headed Nerd Comic Cast at twoheadednerd.com.
Undercover Unitard.
Yeah, you can do that. I have a draft email with a voicemail that explains how Cosby got out of his little imprisonment, and it's just saved as a draft. Two Hotcakes Man never sent. It's like, I didn't like the actual recording because I was kind of under the weather when I recorded it, and I occasionally went out of my Cosby impression, which is awful, but it's even worse when I'm slightly just like grumble out of it into my regular voice.
Undercover Unitards. You can also find me, Henderson Van, everywhere, pretty much. You know, that's it. Nothing exciting. That's it. Let's do this. Yep. Shit.
Adios. Out.